Hey Eco Heroes, for many of us, flashing or squirting perfume or cologne or aftershave or whatever on ourselves is part of our daily grooming routine. But is our obsession with scent and smelling nice causing harm to ourselves and our planet? In today's episode, that's what I'm going to chat about, and I'll be sharing the health and environmental impacts of fragrance and why I choose not to wear perfume.
Welcome to the Eco Chat podcast. I'm your host, Laura Trotter, and I'm here to show you how you can create an eco-ceptional life you love without compromising your lifestyle. Tune in for inspiring interviews with real-life eco heroes, plus my own theories, thoughts, and tips for sustainable living. I'm all about making green mainstream, and I'd love to help you on your eco journey. So let's get started.
Alrighty, so before I delve into the issues around perfumes, I just want to paint the picture for you of why they've never really appealed to me. Of course, I've been gifted and I've even purchased myself some lovely perfumes over the years. Now, my very first trip to Europe in 2000, I spent about 2 weeks tripping around France, and this time actually coincided with Lancôme launching their Miracle fragrance. And advertising was everywhere. Like, you couldn't really walk through a town and not go past these perfumeries that were selling and marketing Miracle. And it was a beautiful fragrance, really nice and floral. And so I actually returned from that holiday with more than one bottle of this luxury fragrance. However, the irony is that I never finished that bottle, or indeed bottles of other high-end perfumes that I purchased in my early 20s. I simply didn't feel great wearing them. You see, as you may know if you followed me for a little while, because I do mention this from time to time, I actually suffer migraines and I've always been really super sensitive to certain smells. In fact, on a bad day, smells like exhaust fumes, cigarette smoke, and even strong perfumes alone can trigger me to have a migraine attack, which is never pretty. So in a worst case scenario, like a big migraine, like I can get the auras where I can't see, really throbbing headache and debilitating nausea. So it's something that I don't really want to get because it can floor me. So at the time though, when I was obviously working this out and I linked the triggers, I didn't really question why perfumes affected me. I just accepted the fact and passed my bottles on to friends who happily took them off my hands, because remember, I'm in my early 20s here and we were going out and socializing and hanging out with friends a lot, and perfumes and makeups and things were pretty standard for people to be wearing. So, and then I just went on living life as you do. I didn't really give perfumes any more thought until I became a mother a decade later. So while preparing to give birth to my first baby, I undertook a breastfeeding class held by the Australian Breastfeeding Association, as I was eager to soak up any tips that would help me successfully establish breastfeeding, because it was really important to me. So I recall the instructor explaining that a baby's sense of smell is one of the most important elements of initiating breastfeeding. She advised us in the class, so it was obviously new mothers and fathers there as well, to not wear any perfumes or aftershaves or use strong smelling deodorants or even soaps for the first few days after birth. And she even said, like, even if you can hold off not even washing yourself or especially your chest for the first 24 hours or so after having a baby, because you want that amniotic fluid on your chest where the baby gets placed, so they can smell that and find their way to successfully latch on. But anyway, she advised us not to wear any perfumes or aftershaves or anything, because perfumes can eliminate or even mask natural odor signals that a newborn baby uses to locate the breast. So it's really, really important. So in this class, we were also advised to politely request that any friends or family who came to visit us and the new baby also avoided wearing perfumes and other fragrances. And the reason was this, because by them handling a newborn baby, they can leave their individual smells, be it food or perfume, aftershave, deodorant, or even cigarette smoke, on our baby's clothes that may confuse the baby and interfere with their recognition of you as mother and their ability to breastfeed. So I thought this was really, really interesting, and it piqued my interest a little bit more in perfumes and fragrances and their impact. Now, it wasn't a surprise to me, as I'd obviously long stopped wearing any perfume and I was well in the process of detoxing my body and personal care products. However, it did make me even more interested in learning more about perfume and any associated health or environmental impacts, which of course I'm keen to share with you today. So first of all though, let's just take a look at what is actually in perfume. So to understand the risk of any health implications from perfumes, it really pays to know their composition. But this is where things get tricky. So for intellectual property reasons, perfume houses don't typically divulge the composition of their fragrances. I kind of liken it to my grandma and her raspberry coconut slice. Her recipe was top secret, and if you managed to try and squeeze it out of her, she, one, either never made it for you again, so she was kind of cracked the sads and like, you've got my recipe, I'm not going to make it for you anymore, or she gave you the recipe but tweaked it a little so your batch never turned out as good as hers. And my mum fell into that category, so I think mum got the botched recipe. I think when she gave me a recipe of it, she never made it for me again. So thanks, grandma, for that one. But anyway, I'm digressing, but the point I'm making is that these recipes for perfumes are top secret. They don't want to share them, obviously, for IP reasons. But while you may not be able to uncover a full list of ingredients, you can obtain some general ingredients. So I happen to be browsing on Lancôme's website because obviously Miracle was that fragrance that I was wearing in my early 20s, or bought for a little time. So I was just checking out some of their ingredients. And in the blog post that accompanies this podcast, I've just listed those ingredients if you want to look at them more. But obviously the most prevalent ones are alcohol and parfum/fragrance. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in this podcast. Obviously water, and there's others there like linalool, isoeugenol, cinnamon alcohol, limonene, and quite a long, lengthy list of ingredients. Many of them I can't really pronounce. So, which leads on to the point, what are potential health impacts of perfumes and of these ingredients? Which I'll delve into a little bit more detail now. But just before I do that, I just want to chat about how we actually use perfumes. And obviously, we are squirting perfumes onto our skin, but we're also breathing them in. So the roots into our body are through the skin. Now, adult humans are reported to absorb up to about 60% of products directly applied to the skin, and which means that any toxins in perfumes and any other body products that we put on our skin, for example, are absorbed directly through our skin and typically end up in our bloodstream and are transported to our organs. So roughly 60% of what we apply to our skin ends up being absorbed by the skin. But of course, perfumes, we actually breathe them in as well. So that's another route into the body. So when we take a closer look at the ingredients that are found in obviously the Lancôme Miracle, for example, and I started to get a much clearer picture of potential side effects of wearing perfume. And I've just used the Chemical Maze as a resource here, but there's other great resources there, obviously the Chemical Maze app, also the Environmental Working Group's database as well. So, but just going back, so the Chemical Maze advises caution against using all of the perfume ingredients listed in the Lancôme Miracle, with the exception of four that it ranks higher and are classified as being best avoided. And these four are fragrance, isoeugenol, BHT, and benzyl alcohol. So I won't talk about all the ingredients. If you go to the blog post of this, I've given a summary for every single ingredient found in the Lancôme Miracle, just to, I guess, use an example there. But just for the purpose of this podcast, so those top four ones, for example, so there's fragrance, and that's used for, obviously, for perfume. It has been linked to allergic reactions, asthma, suspected immune and neurotoxicity issues, and it hasn't really been assessed for safety in cosmetics by the Cosmetic Ingredient Review. There's isoeugenol, which is also used in perfuming, It's also been linked to allergic reactions, contact dermatitis, immune system toxicity, and some animal studies have shown adverse effects. And it also hasn't been assessed for safety in cosmetics by the CIR. BHT was another one listed as best to avoid, and that's an antioxidant. It's been linked with skin irritation, human skin toxicity, suspected liver, respiratory, skin, or sense organ issues, kidney, immuno, and neurotoxicity. And it has been evaluated by the CIR as listed as safe when used up to about 0.5%. And the last one in that top four as listed as best to avoid is benzyl alcohol. It's also a preservative, also in solvents, and it controls the viscosity of a liquid. So it's classified as harmful in used in products in and around the mouth. It affects the liver, immune and neurotoxicity. It has been linked with allergic reactions. And it's also been ranked by the CIR as safe, but with some qualifications on it as well. And because there's insufficient data to support safety where inhalation is a primary route of exposure. So inhalation is quite important when used as a perfume because we're breathing them in as well. But there's insufficient data to support whether benzyl alcohol is safe to be inhaled or not. So obviously some scientific studies need to catch up with cosmetics and what we're wearing there. So like I said, for more detail and info, just go to the blog post for this podcast and I'll link to that in the show notes below where if you're keen on checking out all the other ingredients. But they're definitely the top four that's been ranked as being in this Lancôme fragrance as being best avoided by the chemical maze. Of course, these are just potential impacts, and whether or not perfumes will have a detrimental impact on you comes down to your susceptibility or your sensitivity, as well as the dose. So that's how often and how much you're applying. So while synthetic fragrances contribute to my migraines, they may have no noticeable effect on you whatsoever. But just note that the absence of a noticeable effect doesn't necessarily mean that they're not having an impact on your health. But surely perfumes are tested for safety, I hear you ask. And it's a really valid question, but one of the concerns I have about cosmetics, including perfumes, is that many ingredients haven't been assessed for safety. And furthermore, many of the ingredients aren't even disclosed. And a good case in point here is fragrance. So fragrance or parfum is commonly listed on many cosmetic and household products, from perfumes to soaps, shampoos, deodorants, body lotions, and even cleaning products. So you could be forgiven for thinking that the term fragrance or parfum in an ingredient list just represents one ingredient. And honestly, that's what I thought for many years too. So when I started looking at labels, again, in my early 20s, so we're talking almost 20 years ago, looking at labels and you see fragrance or parfum, you just think that's one scent added to the product. But that couldn't be further from the truth. You see, the term usually represents a complex mixture of dozens of chemicals. Indeed, some 3,000 chemicals are used as fragrances. So similar to the many separate ingredients listed in the Lancôme perfume example that I've used, most of the thousands of chemicals used in fragrances haven't been tested for toxicity alone or in combination. Many of these unlisted ingredients are irritants and they can trigger allergies, migraines, and asthma symptoms. Laboratory experiments have also linked some individual fragrance ingredients with cancer and neurotoxicity. So just like my grandmother's raspberry coconut slice recipe, fragrance recipes are considered trade secrets, and manufacturers aren't required to disclose fragrance chemicals in their list of ingredients. So essentially, when you purchase a perfume, there's no way knowing exactly what you're applying to your body, even if the ingredients are listed on the bottle, because if fragrance or parfum is listed, there could be tens or even hundreds more chemical ingredients included than what's actually listed. So this loophole in labeling regulations doesn't just apply to perfumes for cosmetic use, it impacts all products that contain fragrance. And I guess that's another topic in itself, but it's another concerning point. But we'll just stay on track with perfumes for today, hey? So I've chatted about some of the health implications of perfume, but what about environmental implications? So while normal use of perfumes generally doesn't produce an adverse environmental impact, the manufacture of perfumes and their raw materials and any accidental or purposeful discharge to air, water or soil can lead to negative environmental impacts. From an ecological perspective, synthetic musks in fragrances are of particular concern due to their ability to persist and bioaccumulate in the environment. And measurable levels of synthetic musks have actually been detected in fish and sediments in the Great Lakes of Northern America. So, you must be wondering, since I don't wear perfume, what do I wear, or do I wear anything at all? And is there a natural, healthier alternative to wearing synthetic perfumes? So the good news is that you can enjoy wearing a scent without resorting to expensive traditional perfumes. And by switching to a suitable organic or therapeutic grade essential oil or essential oil blend, or perfume made from essential oils, you can smell lovely and reap the therapeutic benefits of essential oils as well. And I've actually got a couple of different essential oil perfumes, and they're lovely. They're really, really nice, and obviously blends as well. So I might link to them in the show notes if you're interested in looking at some of them. So where to from here? So obviously you've listened to today, and I'm not sure whether you're currently wearing perfumes, but I hope I've given you some food for thought to break up with them or switch to a more natural perfume such as an essential oil. But I really just want to plant the seed. So to enjoy optimum health, and for obviously our environment to enjoy health as well, but mainly for us and our optimum health, we really need to smarten up, not just on what we put in our bodies, so that's in our diet and eating like an organic whole foods diet, but what we put on them. And that's often the part that a lot of people forget. So my passion in this area is one of the main reasons why I created the Home Detox Bootcamp 2.5 years ago. It was actually the first online course of its kind that I'm aware of to guide participants on a journey to break up with toxins in their homes and in their personal products as well. And it's already helped hundreds of participants create a cleaner and greener home. So in the course, I delve into cleaning and pest control products naturally, but I also touch on personal care and beauty, all in a supportive environment and with access to me for questions and insights from guest experts who are leaders in their fields. And I've got plenty of natural beauty experts on board as well. So I just want to give you a heads up, as I'll be opening doors again this coming week, so this Thursday, and you can check it out at homedetoxbootcamp.com. I'd really love to have you join me and come on board, and I'd love to help you not only break up with your perfume, but to break up with all synthetic chemicals in your home, in your bathroom cabinet, beauty cabinet, laundry cabinet, kitchen cabinet, even your garden shed. So check it out. Doors open this week just for 3 weeks. There's a special early bird special if you get in very early. And check it out. I'd love to see you in my Home Detox Bootcamp. Now go on, get out there, break up with your perfume too this week, and help make green mainstream. Catch you later.
Listening to the Eco Chat podcast. I'm Laura Trotter. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love you to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review in iTunes. And if you're keen to continue the conversation, head on over to my website, lauratrotter.com, where you can also pick up your free copy of my e-guide, 11 Steps to Ecofy Your Home and Your Life. Catch you there.